Part 3. The Girl Who Loved Thomas Berryman. Hampton Bays, July 20. Thomas Berryman's house at Hampton Bays was a sprawling, storm-gray sea captain's house with a long, canopied porch and 500 feet of private beachfront. There were separate garages all over the place. The garages were literally everywhere you looked. Inside the 10-bedroom house, I found an unexpected surprise. Berryman's girlfriend, a strange, beautiful lady named Una Quinn. A modern woman, I guess you could call her. Una Quinn was growing up in the manner of young men. She was groping, grappling, scratching for what she considered her rightful place in the world. That's why Thomas Berryman liked her, I imagine. Una is tall and thin, 5'9", big bones, 130 pounds. She has flowing black hair that can come below her waist, but she generally keeps it up in a large bun. She has the classic stately look of New England, and the best of it. She'll smoke brown cigarettes, however, letting them hang out of the side of her mouth. Unlike Ben Toy, Una was the kind of person I'd known in my own life. She'd been a clerk in a boutique the spring and winter before she met Berryman, but she was bright with common sense. She was the one, for example, who finally gave me a reasonable explanation why beautiful people are forever hugging. She said it was their way of breaking sexual tensions. I like that idea. Una Quinn said she was 20, and that was a startling but possible fact. I first saw her through a screen door, a black dirty screen in the kitchen. I had my eyes and nose up against it, and the shadowy outline of her hair was wild and bushy. A beautiful witch, I thought. I called inside. During our first moments in the doorway, as I explained how I'd come to the house via Ben Toy, I scratched my nose, took a deep breath, scratched my chin, my ear, blinked several times, brushed the shoulder of my jacket, and lit a cigarette. "Haven't you ever seen a woman before?" she asked. I laughed, embarrassing memory, and said, "Of course." At the outset, Una was reluctant to talk about anything, even the kind of day it was, or wasn't, or ought to be. This didn't surprise me, of course. We walked down to the water on a gray picket fence that was laid flat instead of standing up. She carried a little kitchen radio that was playing cabaret songs, and it was almost as if I wasn't there. After we'd tramped a good distance from the house, she asked me some questions.
Exactly what did Ben Toy tell you?" she said.
I didn't see a good reason to hold anything back, so I told her most of what I knew. She listened to it all, and then she simply laughed.
"He's crazy, you know. Tuned out."
"He said you know what happened in Nashville," I told her.
"He said?" She stopped walking and turned to me. "Or are you figuring things out by yourself, Mr. Jones?"
She drifted away without an answer, over closer to the water so it ran up over her feet. Her toes were long and bony with spots of red polish on the nails, and she was outrageously attractive. When we finally reached the point out of sight of the house, she plopped down in the sand. Lily Marlene came on her radio, and she turned it up full.
"I feel very like wind and things can pass right through me. It's very weird talking to you right now. Unreal," she said with a big sigh. I asked her if Berryman was around somewhere, and she gave no answer. And then for some reason, I wasn't able to understand it until I'd gathered more information, Una Quinn began to tell me little things about herself. She spoke cautiously at first, in a cynical, irreverent sort of way. But after a while, I started to get the feeling that I was hearing a nervous, maybe even a contrite confession. I also got the feeling that the girl was scared and confused. She and I spent nearly 3 days together in Thomas Berryman's house, and she spoke more and more freely, I thought, about what had happened between herself and Berryman. One time she called him the Master of Good Vibes. She said that he had a 10-inch prick, if that question was circulating around my mind,
and she also said that I tended to be gloomy. All in all, it was a crazy environment for me. For one thing, I'd never spent a lot of time with beautiful women before. For another, the only other time I'd been at the seashore was in Biloxi, Mississippi. I also had trouble sleeping. At night, it got cold as Tennessee winter out there. During our second day go-round, Una told me that Bert Poole hadn't shot Jimmy Horn. Ben Toy told me the same thing, I said.
He doesn't know, she disputed that. He thinks Tom's going to come take him back to Texas in the Mercedes.